Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to episode 22 of the Salty Mother Clutchers podcast.
I was riding the other day and it was like cold and I ripped out my, as people may have seen on Instagram, my 1980s like ratty leather, smelly, gross jacket.
That was your dad's leather, right?
Yeah.
And like none of the zippers have pulls anymore?
No. So you gotta like finagle it on and everything. But
that's a cool heavy jacket.
Yeah, it's heavy and it was fucking cold. So yeah, that's why I dug that thing out.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck man, I look pretty good. This looks pretty cool. And it's like classic biker look, right?
And vintage.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, your classic biker jacket with like the angled zip and the big collars and the belt.
And it's like got the short waist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just riding with that jacket on thinking of like how fucking cool I look. And then I was like, what is cool? Why do I feel cool now? Because there are times like learning to ride, not just learning to ride, but like when we first started riding that I was like, oh, this is cool. That's not cool. And then you try to find your place.
I think everyone, like, especially in the biker community, has their own opinion on what's cool and what's not, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, we got started out on, like, any motorcycle was cool. Like, we weren't interested in sport bikes.
Yeah.
But anything that was not a sport bike, we were like, that's a cool bike. We didn't know the difference between anything. We're like, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool. And then what became cool was whatever motorcycle we could afford. So that just had to be the cool bike.
Yeah.
That was cool.
But I mean, I also had like some sort of, and maybe this is just me, but like I had some sort of notion of like, oh, like, hey, the 454 LTD was like a low riding bike, super cool shape, cruiser style. Mm-hmm. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
My LTD 550 was like banana seat upright. Now I think it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. At the time, I was like, oh, well, I look kind of like a dork.
At the time, I looked at that bike and was like, obviously, my 454 is cooler than that bike.
Yeah.
But
obviously.
But probably today, if you were like, you got to pick one of these bikes and that's going to be your bike, I might just pick the 550.
I would for sure.
I don't know why. Yeah. I hated that bike at the time, but now, like, aesthetically, it's more pleasing to me. Like, I don't
know. It was a really good bike, like, in really good shape and everything, too.
So that's what was cool for bikes. And then obviously, if you've listened to the podcast at any point in time, you will know that we have a love-hate relationship for Harley Sportsters. Maybe Harley Davidson, but like, I don't think that because you have purchased a Harley Davidson, you are cool. But
hey,
I know people that like, that is the height of luxury.
Yeah.
And if you don't buy, like, that is the tippy top. If you don't buy a Harley Sportster or a Harley, then you're uncool. And it's like, well, I disagree
but hard. See,
even though I might own one day. I don't feel the same.
I got up to status Harley right now. Status Sportster. So it's like, you know, it's something.
Yeah.
But like, there are definitely steps along the way, like where it's like, oh, my helmet looks like a Canadian Tire bobblehead. So no, I need to get like a more slender, slim fitted helmet, like beanie style, you know.
Yep.
The barely DOT approved helmet you can.
Yep.
Because you're fucking cool. You do the cool wave, super down low. You're like, no, I'm a turd. Like that is like just another step. Like it keeps changing. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, if I have a stock motorcycle, that's not cool.
Right.
So you have to customize shit. So you have to like prove to the biker world that you're invested in like motorcycles, right?
Yeah. And you know me, like, I guess probably the Honda Shadow that I have now is really the only bike I ever customized at all. And all I did was take off the backrest and put on a sissy bar.
Put on a new backrest.
That's all I did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fuck around with moving anything, changing anything, even things I don't like. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, that's just whatever. That's the bike. Who cares? Like, yeah. I never really care too much. I also, like, I don't think that I look cool on that bike or anything, but, you know, arguably look cooler on that bike than I did on the Virago, and I loved the Virago.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Like, I think, yeah, it totally depends on the person. And I think that, like, that also, that really determines, like, who your friends are on motorbikes.
Yeah, no one.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing.
We do tend to ride solo a lot.
Yeah, but like we're also sold this idea of like, you know, the brotherhood or womanhood of fucking bikers.
Yeah.
Like that is legit horseshit, and not just to Dennis Hopper that, but
well, maybe yeah. You didn't actually fully join the Harley Club.
No, because I can't. Because even though I have a Harley now,
oh.
It's only a Sportster.
Oh, it's only a 1200 cc yeah. engine, and it's a girl's bike.
Yeah, it's not a real Harley until you get up into the big twins, and then because I'm not there, I don't know what the next level is, right? You don't know the next level of cool until you're at, you know, a level of cool. Like, oh, there's another level, I didn't know.
Yeah,
I thought having a motorcycle was cool enough.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, I thought that having a motorcycle was cool enough.
And like having a Honda Shadow, that was a level for me. I was like, Honda Shadow. I don't care if it's an 86. It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And as soon as we were riding Honda Shadows, we were like, oh, they're not cool because they're stock. So we need to like wrap the pipes. We need to get some fucking Z-bars on these babies.
Did you do that? Did you do that?
No.
You did chop the back of your bike
yeah.
off.
Yeah. So I chopped it. I customized it. I bobbed the fuck out of it. Whatever.
I did nothing to mine.
But once I got to that level of fucking cool, it was not cool anymore.
Right.
Like, that was a fucking poser bike.
I mean, another, like, thing, we've talked about this 100 times, like, another, like, cool thing, and, like, I bought into the cool
mm-hmm.
when I bought a Biltwell Gringo S.
Yes.
If I didn't get a Gringo, then I was just gonna stay at the level I was at.
Right.
And once I got a fucking most uncomfortable helmet of my fucking dreams...
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make me feel any cooler, that's for sure.
Well, is that the top tier level? Or is that only cool at, like, the cruiser no. Sportster level?
Well, no, like, the thing is, like, I can wear Gringo all I want, but if I'm not sitting my ass on a fucking Harley Sportster or a Triumph Bonnie, like, I'm not fucking cool. Right. I'm just a fucking chick riding gotcha. A Honda Shadow.
So you're, like, not even up to that level yet. You're, like, on the, you're on the stairs. You're on your way.
Yeah, I'm on my way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but once you get there, you're still not as cool as the big twin Harleys. So.
Yeah.
And I don't even think you can wear a Gringo on those. I think you probably are, it's, like, mandatory you have to wear a
teeny tiny beanie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Fuck. Like, I don't know. Is there anyone that you know that, like, you see them ride and, like, there's just something about, like, their bike, their style, the way they dress or whatever that, like, you're like, yeah, that person looks pretty fucking cool, actually.
No.
Is there anybody, like, anybody that you know, any friends that you're like, ah, I fucking love their bike so much?
Nah.
I've been, like, totally, like, loving this chick.
You have a story to tell.
No, there's this chick that I haven't even met. Her name is Shelby. And
oh, she that has bike that, is fucking rad.
She has this, like, 70s Honda CX500 yeah, custom. 500. It is fucking so cool yeah. looking.
So it's like a V-twin engine, but it's like rotated, like, I guess 90 degrees, like, like sideways.
Oh, it's yeah. such a fucking cool looking bike.
Yeah, that's actually, like, I've looked those up, and they're like a precursor or a smaller version or something. They're in the family of bikes. They're related to Gold Wings and yeah. Silver Wings.
Yeah.
So, like, they're that same sort of setup. Only it's a 500.
And her bike's in, like, really nice shape. I know that she has, like, some repairs and stuff she needs to do to it. But I, like, she posted a photo of that bike on her Instagram the other yeah. day. And I was like, oh, my God, I love your bike so much. Like, I saw it in person and was like, look at this fucking bike. And then yeah. I was like, hey, are you the chick that I met on the internet?
Yeah.
And I love her bike.
Yeah. And, like, to us now, like, that to me is actual cool.
Yeah, that's
cool factor.
That is cool. It's even cooler if you know how to fix it yourself.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I look at that bike and it's like, cool. If I sat on that bike, though, it'd be another story. Because it'd be like, ooh, there is a giant fucking ogre riding a teeny tiny old bike from the 70s.
Yeah.
With a banana seat.
So we like old things. And, like, what I think is cool is whenever someone can ride well.
Yes.
And is not a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And the more they know about their bikes and can fix by themselves, I think that's fucking rad.
Yeah.
So, like, it's less about, like, a cool jacket you got, and like whatever fucking helmet you got, if you know how to take apart your carburetor, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool. I mean, I have like lots of friends that I'm like, well, not lots of friends. I have some friends that ride and like, doesn't really matter what they're riding. They're good riders. So like, there is like just a feeling of like, yeah, that's fucking cool. Like their whatever bike is like between their legs. Like, look at Melanie LaBelle. She's got that fucking dual sport.
Overalls.
And she like, she's done a lot of work to that bike to make it kind of fit her. Like, she's pretty petite and it's a pretty tall bike. Mm-hmm. And every time I see her like put her foot on the peg and then like mount it like a horse because it's so tall, I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
she's making that work for her. That's fucking cool. What is that a bike I would ever choose for myself? No.
Yeah,
but she's not trying to be cool, and then she just is cool.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of doable. In like I said, I'm only at Sportster tier, so I don't know what's beyond this. Oof. And I don't know if I care to go beyond this because I'm already not Sportster cool because like it's essentially like stock-ish. And I wear like overalls and rubber boots most of the time. Like, I don't look very cool and I'm not pretending to be very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not cool.
I think you're cool. I saw you come out in that musty old leather the other day, and I was like, oh my God, photo shoot. I need to take your picture. Yeah. You look so cool. Well, actually, I thought you looked hot.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty
hot. Hot's pretty cool.
Yeah, hot's cool. Hot's cool.
Hot is cool.
I think a lot of people probably won't admit to themselves that they're trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a problem, because I think if you ask this question to a lot of people, like, oh, what do you think is cool? What do you think is cool about riding a bike? Nothing, man. I'm doing my own thing. I'm feeling the
freedom and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think you really get an honest answer out of people if you're asking them, like, do you think you're cool? Like, hey, motorcycle lady, do you think you're cool?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a few people that would totally say, yes, I am cool because of this and that. Like... Yes, I am clearly cool. I bought a black Harley Davidson, so now I am cool.
Clearly.
Like, I bought a fucking whatever, so now I'm cool. And that's it. Anyone below me, you're not cool, because I'm cool.
Yeah, so, like, what's this, like, huge, like, desire that, like, you have to, like, if you get a motorcycle, you have to be, like, the coolest person on a motorcycle?
I don't know.
Like, why? I know some people will just be like I said, like, oh, I just do my own thing. I'm not cool, whatever. But, like, I think everyone's just lying and they actually do think that they're cool and that they want to be cool. And there's this, like, weird desire just to, I don't know if it's fitting in or, like, to fit, like, this biker stereotype. Like,
I don't know if it's to fit in. It's to be different. But by doing the same thing everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Like buying the exact same bike as everyone else. Yeah, and the exact same gringo as everyone else.
I guess I mean fitting in by fitting into like that stereotype. Yeah. By fitting into the club. But yeah. You know, that's like, you know, 60s badass biker shit.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's just something to do with that, maybe. People are just like, I want to be as cool as I possibly can if I'm going to be on a fucking bike. Because there's so many shitty people on bikes. I want to make sure that people know that I'm one of the cool ones.
Hey, you know what I thought was actually sort of cool? Maybe borderline stupid, but kind of cool.
Hmm.
That on Halloween, we saw a bunch of people on bikes, and it was like 3-4 degrees. Yeah. And then the next day, we saw more people on bikes, and it was fucking cold, man. I don't know if we're missing out on the, you have to go for a ride on Halloween, and you'd think we would, but it was so cold. Like, I don't even know if my bike would go, and I don't know what I could wear.
Oh, Sportster won't start, that's for sure. But I mean, it would have been nice to go for a rip. Obviously, we were busy,
but it was pretty cool, like how many people were actually out riding.
Yeah,
like, it's in the cold, very cold.
We saw more people on Halloween and the first riding than I saw last weekend. I was out for like 5-6 hours just doing fucking nothing, being cool.
That's more bikes I've seen on the road in weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going like the same commute anymore, but like that's, you know, you're going to see a bike here and there. No, man. Like it's been a long time that there's been not piles of bikes out.
Yeah, and if you're out running the roads for like hours at a time, you generally will run into other bikes and other vehicles and stuff.
And they were mostly all solo riding too. There was like maybe a pair or two, but mostly just people out doing their own thing.
Yeah, I'm saying it's probably their storage rides.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
There was that one sporty that
was out. That's cool. They kept their bikes out till November.
Yeah, they were on a storage ride for sure.
Yeah. That guy looked like fucking cold.
Yeah, that guy was like in panic mode.
He was
gonna get my bike to the barn.
He was ripping fast too. It was like, so if it was 3 or 4 degrees out and we were in a 50 zone, that guy was he was hustling. He was doing probably 80. Yeah,
punctuated by like a cool factor, no windshield, so
His arms were basically up punching the clouds.
Yeah, like crazy black bars, tank lift, the whole fucking 9 yards.
Yep.
Cool factor 0.
Hey, my name is Jen, and I've been riding for 7 years, and I currently ride a Harley Sportster 883.
Cool. So, we were just talking about this, and we're like, what should we talk to Jen about? And, like, the first thing that comes to mind, like, for me with you is that you seem to just do a lot of lone wolfing and big adventures. Big adventures and not very close to home.
Well, I'm currently located back in New Brunswick. I literally just moved like 3 days ago, but I was based out of Halifax for about the last 6.5 years or so. And I guess like the farthest I've actually ridden from like point A to point B would be like down to North Carolina. But I've also like done a flyout to Edmonton and do like the Western States kind of thing as well. So, but I cheated and flew. So,
yeah, but I think that's still fine.
That's a fair cheat, I think.
Yeah, totally.
And you borrowed a bike for that, didn't you?
Yeah. The lovely Michaela Wallace of Rebel Moto, that dear friend, she hooked me up with her spare bike, a beautiful Harley Nightster. So, yeah, it was a real treat to have that on loan for like 3 weeks while I was out.
Like, did you ride to the States for like 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was in Canada for a little portion of it because the initial reason for going out was to go to the moto event, Renegade Riot. And so we rode as a group from Edmonton to into BC, in Cherryville, BC. And then after that event, I broke off solo and then went into the States for about 2.5 weeks.
Nice. And
yeah,
where did you go in the States? And was there anything that like really stays big in your heart?
Oh man. So I ducked into, so I went out to Vancouver after the event. So I ducked into the States, into Washington, just kind of like east, a little east of Vancouver, I guess. It like, honestly, this those states out there are insane, but I would have to say like Montana, like definitely stole the show. But surprisingly, Idaho was a really close second.
Huh. Whoa.
I know. It's crazy. Well, it's one of these states that's like, it's literally tucked in, like nestled in between three amazingly beautiful states. So you have like, it's the only, one of the only states that kind of has like three different, very different sets of terrain. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a very quick, in quick changeover. So it was great. It was like, you'd ride for like 50 miles and then the terrain would shift. And then it would shift again. So you never really got bored. It was awesome.
Cool. And where did you where did you stay when you were on the road?
I always camp. I hate staying in hotels and stuff. I just like the really rough and tumble experience of being on the road. So I normally just kind of like, sometimes we'll just wake up in the morning, ride and find a place, you know, towards the end of the day, like find some random campground. Sometimes I'll have it planned out ahead of time, but it's kind of like running by the seat of my pants on it a little bit.
Do you think there's anything like obviously you have to pack pretty concisely when you're doing trips like that and going for that long. Is there anything that you've learned that like, it's like, fuck man, I gotta take this from now on.
Yeah, it's, Okay, well, compared to my first ever solo trip until like now, it's things have really changed. I would say it wasn't not so much about what I really, really need on the road, but more so what I don't need on the road. You learn how to live pretty minimally. The first time I went, I probably looked like a pack mule to a lot of other bikers. But now, honestly, it's just like you literally just need like a camp stove. You need a sleep bag. You need a tent. Like, you'd be surprised of how minimally you can live while you're out on the road.
And when you're doing that, are you just like grabbing some food every day and just, you know?
Yeah, normally like I'll find... If I know that there's not really like a town close to where I'll be camping, along the road somewhere along the way, I'll like stop and grab like something from a grocery store. But if I know that there is a town close by, I'll normally just like set up camp for the night and then kind of like booker into town. I usually eat lunch like on the road kind of thing, like grab something to, you know,
yeah,
at a pub or whatever. But yeah, I'm a big fan of like eaten by the campfire, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is like some of the gear like moto specific gear, like meant for a bike, or do you just kind of cram whatever you have on there?
Well, of course I use my Mad Squirrel nutsack, which everybody should have.
Which you can literally cram anything into.
Yeah, you can cram
anything. You really can. It's like, honestly, he makes the best gear. Like, I use that, and I just have, like, a regular, like, dry bag that I have those two bags attached to the sissy bar, and that's honestly all I need. Really, though, for, like, the rest of my gear, I just kind of bought shit that, like, that hikers would buy. You know, everything that packs, like, super light, super compact, and... Yeah, it makes a huge difference when you kind of shift into that kind of gear versus regular camping gear.
Yeah, I bet.
Compact is key.
I'm on the hunt for like some sort of a pad to sleep on because of my old hips.
Oh yeah, girl, I got those too.
But I have
riding all day. You need something comfortable under your arse, right?
Like my friend Melanie has like a couple of those things that she probably got from like Mountain Equipment Co-op or something like that, and they're so mm-hmm. tiny. They're awesome.
Yeah, I mean I hate to support like big chains and stuff. I do like to shop local wherever possible, but I did get a couple things off of Amazon, and my sleeping pad like folds up to the size of a small like Nalgene water bottle or something.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
They're great. Yeah, they're perfect.
So East Coast rides. Do you have any favorite places?
Are we talking like our neck of the woods,
East Coast? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you always got like the Cabot Trail, which is always a favorite.
Never heard of it.
This year, never heard of it. What's that place? Yeah, so crazy. This year, I went down and did it. I went down for like my birthday week and hung out down there for a little while, and it was the first time I've ever had sun the whole time.
Oh, you're crazy. So lucky.
It was such a treat. I was like seven times down here, and this is the first time I had sun.
I believe
it
that.
Was honestly, it's like 35 degrees the whole time. I was like, where wow. am I?
Holy shit.
I have all this extra rain gear, cold weather clothes, and I don't need any of it.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I know, right?
Are you an August baby?
I am an August baby.
Okay. Yeah, we go in August too, and we always get drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally like me too, but yeah, this year, I don't know. I mean, I guess we just had a crazy hot summer too, right? So we're lucked out on that, but that's how she goes sometimes. Yeah, as far as like other coat, like, I don't know, backyard riding, I don't know. It's like obviously Nova Scotia, anything coastal, it's just beautiful. I feel like any coastal place in Atlantic Canada, honestly, can hold its own against any other place I've ridden. I find that's one crazy thing about riding like far away places is that even though those are amazing and beautiful, you like really, you grow to have that major, huge appreciation for like where we do live and what we do have to ride with every day. So
I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not, but
I have been.
I shit on Sportsters an awful lot. So, oh, so like, you know, convince me, is your Sportster like your forever bike, or you're looking at an upgrade eventually, or what's your thoughts?
No, I'll definitely, well, I shouldn't say that. Until this summer, I was totally stuck on my Sportster. Prior to my Sportster, I never thought I would be like a Sportster person, but, I mean, it's great. It's fun for like and nimble for your back curvy roads. But this summer I started doing a lot more highway riding back and forth to New Brunswick, and it's not a highway bike.
It's really not.
By any means. And I just, I do need a bigger bike for sure. That's kind of how it rolls. My boyfriend Chris rides as well, and he and all like everyone that I'll be riding up with up here with has pretty big bikes. So my little 883, she'll keep up, but sometimes I feel like I'm just pushing her all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd just move up to a 1200 sporty, or would you go something different?
I would probably, I'm kind of got my eye looking out for like a Dyna or something right now. They're just like a really good size. I don't want something big and bulky. I'm not a bagger girl by any means. Like if you drop that, like I'd never be able to pick it up on my own. So I kind of still want to stay within that realm of bike.
Yeah.
But yeah, just something a little bit more sturdy. Plus, I mean, New Brunswick roads, they're fucking rough as shit.
Yeah, they are.
They're brutal. And,
you know, a couple rides on back roads out here and it's like my brand new Frick's like wheel bearing is like fucked again. So something a little heavy, a little sturdier would be great.
What other bikes have you had?
The only other street bike that I own would be a 2000 Yamaha V-Star. I had that bike for, oh my God, almost five seasons pretty much.
Yeah.
That was beast. I love that bike.
That's the bike that I met you on.
Yeah.
So that means you've, okay, let me math that. Does that mean you've had the sporty for two seasons?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, got my eyes on the lookout for a Dyna.
Hey, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't mean I'm getting rid of the sporty. The goal is to keep it and then just turn it into like the most uncomfortable bike.
That's what they're really
like
the best
show
at.
Bike, you know?
Yeah.
They're really good at looking good and being super uncomfortable.
100%. Yeah. I'm just going to turn it into like, you know, a rigid, pound out my kidneys for an hour once a week or something and call it a day. Yeah.
So that being said, are you planning on doing any modifications to your bike this winter or changing anything up for next season? Or are you hoping to like flip it out by next season?
I'm going to kind of wait on it for now. If I don't find, I'm like hold out on the Dyna until I find like the perfect one. You know what I mean? I'm not in like a major rush.
Yeah.
If I don't find anything by like mid, late winter, I'm probably going to like put a 1200 kit and do a little cam work and stuff on the 883 just to get a little bit more out of her. You know,
I always think of you as like, a bike modifier. Like there's always like something brewing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's paint or something else, you know what I mean? Like could be anything.
Yeah, well that's the great thing about the sporty, right? You can do absolutely anything to them. And I mean, look how many fabricating companies there are out there that make custom parts for these bikes.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, totally. And I mean,
literally the world is your oyster with it, right?
Like isn't that like part of the reason why you wanted 1J?
Yeah, that's what I call it, kind of like a Lego bike. It's just you can get like a whole Lego set and all the pieces will still fit. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
And really anyone can do it. It's not super hard to do. You don't have to know a whole lot mechanically to work on a Sportster.
No, and that I think that's the great thing. One of the things I love about it so much is like, so with my Yamaha, I didn't do a lot of work on my own with it because it's one of those things like the engine's so tucked up in there and the tank is so massive and nothing was really accessible. But man, the sporty engine is just like everything's right there.
I can relate to that.
Like,
I can relate to that.
Anything in your driveway.
Yeah. On the in the shadows and stuff, you want to change one thing means you have to remove like 20 other things to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas the sporty, there's like, you know, you can do most things like with the engine in the bike and like just on a kickstand. So it's pretty great.
Well, that's just it. Like minimal tools and equipment, right? Like I don't own all things. Although my new house has an attached heated garage. So I'm pretty excited to, even if I'm going to like get a new bike, I'll probably still tinker around with it all winter just because I can.
Fun. That's awesome.
I know, right? Spoiled.
Totally spoiled. Ours is like, our bikes are like out in the barn. We're like, hope the mice don't eat them. I guess we'll need more cats.
Yeah, heated garage. You're a real Harley owner now.
Yeah, your collection of barn cats might have to get bigger, hey?
They're good mousers. Is there any stories that you would like to tell? Is there any favorite trip you want to talk about? Like, is there anything?
But I don't know, man. Like, the whole, I think, like, my first big solo adventure and, like, I don't know. Okay, for anyone that rides solo or has spent multiple days on the road by themselves, I think it does something to you in the fact of, like, you're pushing yourself beyond your limits and beyond like your comfort and your normal comforts of like riding with a group and always having that like constant communication with people. But I don't know. I just like, I love getting out on the road. You meet the craziest people on the fucking road, man. And like, you meet, like, when you've been on the road all day, especially down through the States, it's always fucking hot when I go down there, like 100-degree weather. You get real fucking road weird, right? And then you come across these other people, like, all, like, old salty bikers at gas stations, and you're, like, swapping stories and shit. And then you've probably stayed at the gas station an hour longer than you planned because you got these stories on the go and shit, right? I don't know. It's like that kind of stuff. And it's like, sometimes you almost get like this validation from these old, like road dusty bikers, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, totally. They're like, keep going. You can do it. You know? And I don't know. You just like, it's the people more than anything, I think. Yeah. And it's great fucking therapy, as we all know. So
I'm just like sitting here with like a big stupid smile on my face. Like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. But I don't know. I guess like anytime anyone asks me about like my travels, like I just fucking say like, get the fuck out there and do it. You know what I mean? Don't wait for anybody else to go with you or book vacation time. Like that's the thing. You'll never go. Yeah. So yeah. But if I don't know. It's crazy. I love traveling in the States, and obviously it's kind of like a dumpster fire down there right now. And the borders are closed, so who knows if that's going to happen anytime soon or ever again. But I don't know. Get down there. Ride. If it's possible again, for sure. Mountain riding, technical riding in the mountains, like the Smoky Mountains in North Carolina and shit. Probably like the most insane riding I've ever done in my whole entire life. Like, I could die at any moment is what runs through your head the whole time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You're like, oh, look at that beautiful like scenery, and they're like, oh, and then there's no road because it's just a cliff. Okay, I should probably pay attention. Yeah.
So you know what fucking sucks?
What fucking sucks?
Menstrual mishaps on moto adventures.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I was
thinking, I mean, I've been around for a few of them.
Well, I think that, you know, whether you have a period or not, you probably know people who do. Like, there's lots of people who get them. And not being prepared while you're on, like, a fucking long ride is so sucky.
Okay.
Okay, here's a memory that you will share with me. So, we were in Cape Breton. We went to Cape Breton, and it was the morning. We were waking up, and we were all going to do the Cabot Trail. And I think it was just us and our dads. And it was like 7 in the morning, and I woke up and went, oh, fuck. I got my period. I have nothing with me. There is nothing in this house. And we got up. I was like, I got to go into town. I got to go buy tampons or something. Like, I have to go.
I vaguely remember this.
And so we get up, and we're like, it's 7 in the morning, okay? We're like, oh, we just have to go for a minute. Yeah, we're going to come back, buy and go on the bikes, ride into town, go to some corner store, buy some tampons. Not to get too deep here. I haven't used tampons in 20 years. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to learn how to do tampons again. Go on the Cabot Trail. We're also supposed to be like going swimming that day and all that stuff. That's cool. People with periods can go swimming. That's cool.
Cool, man.
But I remember we were coming along like the lone sheeling, and all of a sudden I felt the, this is a malfunction. This is a tampon malfunction. And like, sure enough, like by the time we got back home, like I literally bled through all of my clothes and there was nothing I could do about it. I was free bleeding.
Yeah. That would have been way cooler on the road though. it would have been like the Big Al orange juice situation, but like way fucking cooler, man.
Like that fucking sucks. I know that happens to other people. I know that because
I'm going to say that definitely anyone who's going any sort of distance or not, like, yeah, that's bound like, to
that
happen.
That shit can happen. That's a reality and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Did I quit? No. Did I like cry and tell everyone I was having the worst day? No. Did I sort myself out? Yes. Was it funny? Was it funny like 2 weeks later? Yeah, it was kind of funny. But that day, it fucking sucked so bad.
Yeah, so what's in your toolkit now? Zip ties and tampons.
Zip ties and menstrual cups.
Yeah, that works.
But like that, I think that without fail, like, if you're a period person, you're getting your period on the dates that you have your big trip planned. Yeah. It just doesn't matter. Even if it's not supposed to happen then, it's coming. It's going to happen.
So are there any, like, sweet techniques for, like, trying to, you know, keep yourself all together, like, mentally? Like, do you just, like, try not to move? What do you do? What do you do in this situation?
What do you do? Well, I mean,
because, like, if we're out on the road, like, luckily that you woke up, and then it was in the morning, and we're still on a trip. But, so, like, if we're out on, like, doing, like, you know, 9-12 hours riding, we stop every, what, 2 hours-ish, usually? So, like, if you're not on that 2-hour fucking timeline, man, like, what do you do?
I don't know. I think it probably just depends on every person. But, like, that day, I was, like, I knew that there where we were on the Cabot Trail, like, there was nowhere for me to go to sort myself. Like, there was going to, even if we stopped anywhere, it was going to be in the wilderness. So, there's no technique to, like, there's no bathrooms, there's no, like, so I just was like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna bleed all the way through my pants now. Good thing I like to dress in black. And, like, when I get home, I'm just gonna run inside the house and it'll be fine. Like, you know, but I think, like, if you were on the road, say you were highway traveling, I think you'd be able to, like, just make a quicker gas stop and not bleed all the way through your pants because you got it fast enough. But, like, it's... Yeah, in the toolkit.
Toolkit.
Get your menstrual cups in the toolkit. Put your maxi pads in the toolkit. Maybe in a Ziploc so they don't get wet.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Salty Mother Clutchers. If you'd like to get in contact with us, or if you might have an idea of what fucking sucks, hit us up on Instagram at Salty Mother Clutchers, or on Twitter at Mother Clutchers.
I mean, maxi pads might work for that too.
All right, let's get the show on the road. Let's go.
Clutchers.
You fucking assholes.
Okay, let's do it. Anyway, did I say Salty Mother Clutchers?
Oh, I'm sure there's like a cycle joke in there somewhere.
Kickstand down and then you just like throw down a maxi or two and...
It hurts. You hurt.
I'm pretty excited about this episode of the show.
I'm so excited.
All things cool.
Cool.
Uncool.
Cool.
Standing there in your knickers cleaning out your pants.
Luckily, I don't have too many friends that ride those kind of bikes, so